I know business, I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you open and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they've hung a star. Let's go on with the show. The costumes, the scenery, the makeup, the props, the audience that lifts you when you're down. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town. The opening when your heart beats like a drum. The closing when the customers don't come. There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn. On top of that, your partner has parted. You're brokenhearted, but you go on. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Even with a turkey that you know will fold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still, you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. Let's go on with the show. Let's go on with the show.
Well, hello and welcome to this Tuesday morning edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us today. It's going to be quite a busy hour for us here at the radio station. We are in the middle, well, not actually the beginning, sort of, of our Spring Fun Drive, which will be going on. And you can join in, too. We want you to be a part of it when you call cancel out the 816 because it's a toll-free number. So you can't surprise me too much. 888-931-0901 or online at kkfi.org. You have guests from England. And they're going to be with us to talk about the upcoming Central Standard Theater production of A British Invasion, which is coming. The invasion is coming, it says. They're here.
You overslept.
They're here. Pull one of the mics close to you when you talk. Remember that. And Lincoln Dreyer is here with us. Link of Link's Mix is with us, and he is going to tell you a little bit about the fun drive, which is going on. And hey, we have to do this 3 times a year, and it's important. It's very important for the station.
It's what keeps us on the air, helps us keep on keeping on. Hey, I want to do a quick thank you for some donors that we had during the end of Democracy Now, during that last segment. We actually made our match. So first off, I want to thank our champion, who is Mark Andrus, and I want to thank an anonymous donor who gave online, as well as Michael Liston, who rose up and gave online to support the station. So you guys, you doubled your money by doing it during the Champions Challenge. And speaking of Champions Challenges, we have another Champions Challenge that's going to run throughout the hour of Arts Magazine today. And that champion is Holly Barth. Holly Barth has put a $100 challenge out there on the table. The way it works is when you call in, your donation goes towards making that $100. And if enough of you donate and we get to that $100, then Holly will throw her $100 in to KKFI's coffers. But we have to match it to keep it. So we're counting on you to get involved. My old rule of thumb is for $100, we need at least 3 people to donate, whether it's call in or online. Or if you got that new mobile app, you can just click on the donate button on the mobile app, go to kkfi.org or 888-931-0901. Show the love to KKFI, to Arts Magazine, to all the work Michael Hoag does every week to pull off a great show. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to answer the phone.
So. Yeah, I hope you get a lot of them, too.
All right.
Thank you, Link. Link will be on in an hour at 10 o'clock with Link's Mix, and he'll have something special for you. We're not going to tell ahead of time. Rick Stacy, my resident cartoonist, comedian, writer, and good luck charm, actually, during fun drives.
We do pretty well.
Is
we
here with us.
Good times here in Kansas City has opened up their pockets and have worked to give us a lifeblood of what it needs to keep this wonderful station on the air, not only locally as part of the community, but because of the blessings of your big tower and the online possibilities. We are global, and I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we're global as far as you can hear it yes. online.
Exactly.
Anyway, you can hear it in England. Remember, they are talking to the mic, Bob, when you're talking.
Pull it up to you.
Pull it right up to you.
Everybody here.
You know, yeah, and you can swing it over. You can swing it over to Jenny when she's ready.
Okay.
This is one of your projects.
Right.
The British Invasion, Central Standard Theater. Maybe we can go into more detail later, but you have brought these people here in exchange for you going over there at various times.
Well, part of the whole thing about the Central Standard is that, you know, we take Kansas City to the world, telling our stories, our local stories, with our artists here, and we pack ourselves up and we head off to Britain or to Australia or wherever the winds can take us. And we take our stories overseas. But while we're over there abroad, we meet people who are fascinating and terrific. We'd love to share their stories here. So we take Kansas City to the world, and then we bring the world to Kansas City. And now we have a crowd from the little seaside town of Brighton that have
Brighton.
Come this week to present shows all the way starting tonight through Sunday afternoon.
Is Brighton on the seaside? So is that near the channel, the English Channel, or is that on the Atlantic side? Or is it another one that I'm not aware of?
It is on the English Channel, which I think is an inlet of the Atlantic Ocean. But I could be
wrong. Oh, okay.
Anyway, yes, it's on the Channel. Yes.
The last time I flew over there, we flew over part of the Channel. The pilot said. Mm-hmm. And just as dawn was breaking, we were over Omaha Beach. It was too cloudy to see much, but I found that kind of moving in my own way.
A lot of history.
Yeah, a lot of history over there. We have two of the guests here. Well, let's talk. Jenny Rowe.
Hello.
Nice to have you with us. You also hail from Brighton.
I do. I hail from the same house as Robert Cohen, in fact. Oh. We're married.
A married couple on the show. Yeah. This should be interesting.
Right. we've got Bob in between us. I don't know whether that's relevant.
But it saves on accommodation here when I bring them over.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure.
We probably live specifically in a place called Hassocks, which is about 8 miles north of Brighton, which makes it to us a different entity. It does have a sort of range of hills in between. But obviously to you, that would be like sort of round the block. Bob was telling us how big the metropolitan area is here.
How big did you tell him?
Well, I don't know. End to end, if you were somewhere out in Olathe and you're trying to get up to the northeast, it's going to take you, it's going to be 100 miles or something to get across it. So
yeah, we figure if you count all the burbs in there, the suburbs, maybe 2 million, getting close to 2 million.
Yeah, 2 million, it's about it. Yeah, as we talked about that.
So relatively small for big city standards. They will say occasionally we are not the smallest, but one of the smallest cities in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. But yet we dominate the National Football, at least for now. Yeah. We are. And you're aware of American sports?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Yes, absolutely.
It was part of the requirement if I was going to bring them over. They had to at least be conversant one way a little bit. So.
Years ago, I know that you won the thing.
So we won the thing.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
I'm winning the thing.
I'm grasping for the director's name, but years ago I was directed in a play. We did Shakespeare. Vincent Dowling from Ireland, and the Cleveland Shakespeare Festival was directing us at the time. Poor man. But he wanted to have a Sunday afternoon rehearsal one Sunday. And everyone said, but Mr. Dowling, that's the day of the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. He goes, and I can't do the Irish. I shouldn't even attempt it. But he said, what is your Super Bowl? He says, it's the Great American Spectacle. And he seemed to catch on after that.
Right.
He was an interesting man. He had a lot of friends that were famous poets, and he told stories about them as well as directing and all of that. And boy, you have presentations. What I find most interesting about the British invasion is the fact that they perform on their own rather than in groups. Now, I'm used to interviewing people that are performing with a group. Mm-hmm. Usually, but you all do it on your own. And I was told that that was the preferred way that you like to do it over in your part of the world.
Well, I don't know if that's the preferred way that they do it, but it is a way, and it's really more advanced and more prevalent, the solo actor, actor playwright. It's much more advanced and over there than it has been here. And it has to do, I think, with the size of the country and how you can tour and these kinds of things. But these festival shows, these fringe festival shows, are shorter usually in length, about an hour, maybe a little bit. We have a couple that are a little longer than that this time. But it allows me to bring a wider variety of shows instead of just one show that we do over and over again. It's four different shows. And it creates you get a much wider swath of what they're trying to their stories and what they're bringing over this year, and we have a wide variety of them. And these two their shows actually have a very unique American twist to it. So,
oh, really?
It'll be interesting to see how. How these shows particularly come over here.
Well, we have two of the performers with us, unless Bob is doing one too.
No.
We have Jenny Rowe with us. She does a show called Tiptree. Am I saying that right,
Yeah,
Jenny?
That's right, Tiptree.
What does that involve?
Well, Tiptree, it comes under two things, because Tiptree is where I grew up in North Essex in the UK. But it's also the pseudonym of a science fiction writer from America in the 60s, 60s and 70s, who was actually called Alice Sheldon, but her published name, one of them, was James Tiptree Jr.
She wrote as a man?
She wrote as a man.
That's interesting.
As some women at that time did.
Did she feel like she had to do that?
It was mainly because she'd recently got a scientific a PhD. As she says in the play, the scientists already thought she was a maverick crackpot. So she didn't want to muddy the waters.
Sure.
But she found the name from giant stores and in an imported food section, and just saw a jar of Tiptree marmalade, which is the main thing that industry. Gets manufactured, the main industry in Tiptree. So she just saw this jar of marmalade and went, I'll call myself James Tiptree. And her husband said, what? Add a junior to the end. So James Tiptree Jr. was born.
Was that considered a controversy? Well, when it was discovered, which she probably went a while without being discovered. But when she was that considered a big controversy?
I don't know. I think, certainly for her, it changed things significantly. And I think, yes, it did. It was a big surprise to some people. She was referred to in the foreword to, well, he was referred to in the foreword to an anthology as ineluctably masculine. Could possibly conceive of the fact that this person could possibly be a woman, and then people had to rethink there what was happening. But she made a point of, you know, she never went to any conferences. She didn't. Everything she did was through a PO box. So there was never going to be. She didn't want to be found out for a long time. And then suddenly she had all these friendships that she'd made by letter with famous science fiction writers like Ursula K. Le Guin and Joanna Russ. And she was really, really concerned that suddenly they'd all just leave her because she'd developed all these really good letter writing friendships for nearly 20, over 10 years by that point.
Sure. Yeah. Wow. That as you portray her, you portray her as yourself, I assume.
I'm inflicting my American accent on you.
That's fine.
I'm playing her. Yeah. For the hour.
Her story.
Yeah, I start at the towards the end of her life, and she's reminiscing over her life, really. I've had to be quite careful about which bits I pick out, because she had quite an extraordinary life. She was in the CIA briefly.
Wow.
Her parents took her on expedition to Africa a number of times when she was under 10. They were friends with a guy called Carl Akeley, who was a naturalist. He was a taxidermist as well. There's still some exhibitions in museums here. She had quite an extraordinary life.
Yeah, I can't let this go by. Was with the CIA for a while.
To be honest, mainly analytical stuff. I say in the play, but she was briefly trained as a field agent, but it was very sort of basic.
I bet you get more questions about that than you do a lot of other things.
Yeah, but the good thing for her, because she was writing articles as James Tiptree Jr. In fanzines and stuff, she could pretend to be, she could highlight the things that she had done a little bit, but sort of pretend that it was a bit more, so she could pretend to be a mysterious bachelor with secret government work to do, but not say what.
Well, with England being the fictional home of the most famous spy ever, I can see where that would be some things. But you'd probably touch on different aspects of her life, mm-hmm. and all of that. I'm assuming now, and you know what they say about we shouldn't assume. But I'm going to assume for a moment that you were a big fan of her work.
I had never heard of her until, I googled my village, and her name came up. She has an award named after her called the James Tiptree Jr. Award, which is award for writers who are pushing the boundaries of gender in different ways.
Well, sure.
And that's been going on for a very long time. It's recently changed to, I think it's called the Otherwise Award now. That's why I'd heard
they should her. Use her actual name now. Tiptree is a wonderful name. But that was her actual name. That should be the award, in my opinion.
I think there's various reasons. It's only happened recently, the change in the award, and I think it's because I don't want to give away the story. That happens in the story, but there's something that happens in the story which some people find. Perhaps they didn't. Maybe they feel a bit uncomfortable having an award named after her. But only in the way that, you know, everybody's got. You know, I don't want to write about someone who's just nice or good.
Quite notorious, was she?
everybody's got. You know.
Well, you know those spies. They're quite notorious. They will get the information no matter what they have to do. I'm kidding. Were you always a performer? Did you want to be a performer?
I grew up around my mum doing a lot of amateur dramatics, so I would get dragged along to all the rehearsals I'd get dragged along to rehearsals and go and sit in all the productions. So there was always theatre around me, But I never thought that I would be able. It's funny, isn't it? I never thought I'd be able to afford it.
Oh,
but
well,
you can't afford
you
it.
Got married.
You can't afford any of it. And then I married an actor.
That's right.
Actor. And now
neither one
can afford it.
Neither one of you now can really afford it. Right. That's a joke also.
No, Robert, it's true.
Robert Cohen is with us. You also do a one-person presentation. Yeah. And yours is called, I have it here, Harvey...
The Trials of Harvey Mattuso.
Okay, tell me about Harvey and his trials.
It's only just occurred to me that me and Jenny are both doing shows about people who are working undercover. Mattuso was perhaps deeper undercover because he was in the good old days of the the first age of... what do they call it? Can't think all of a sudden, but during the McCarthy era, first age of fake news, he was a McCarthyite super snitch, to put it briefly. He was a Communist Party member who started ratting for the FBI, ratting on his friends, getting $40 a month. And he thought, oh, that's good. And found out that he could get money from other people for testifying at hearings and in trials and that kind of thing. So he spent about 4 years doing this, being a professional witness, and then had some kind of crisis of conscience and went public with the fact that he'd made up most of his testimony.
Major no-no.
Well, yeah. Yeah, the government weren't very happy about it.
I'll bet not.
Because, the Supreme Court ended up overturning all these convictions.
As well they should have if he was not being truthful.
Well, quite. He went to jail for perjury, but not for all the lies he'd told on oath. It was because he had been coached by a guy called Roy Cohn, who I'm sure you've heard of.
Oh, yeah. No relation?
No. I've got an E in the middle.
Oh, okay.
He was just C-O-H-N. Although, according to tradition, we're all descended from Aaron, the brother of Moses. And funnily enough, one of our fellow performers who's not here right now, Paul Levy, he's a Levy, so according to tradition, he's descended from Moses himself. But and we're all on the same bill. But I digress. I think.
No, that's fine.
What was I saying?
You were talking about what he did and how he got in trouble.
Sorry. Roy Cohn, who was famous as McCarthy's right-hand man, and accidentally helped to bring him down. In fact, but prior to the McCarthy thing, he was working for the Justice Department in New York, and he was one of the prosecutors for the Smith Act trial that Mattuso was one of the witnesses for. And Mattuso said that Cohen had coached him and encouraged him to lie on oath, and Cohen said, no, I didn't, and it actually went to court, and they believed Cohen rather than Mattuso, so he spent some time in jail. Although, as he says in the show, it was like the college he never went to, and he sort of like taught himself to do all these things. So it was like an education rather than jail.
I've heard many people, performers especially, say the same thing.
Really,
it's like the college I never got to go to.
Yeah, yeah.
I learned it all on the way to whatever I have turned out to be.
Well, yeah, I more or less did that, but not in jail.
Well, sure. When did you two meet each other? I have to ask this.
A very good question. Have you heard of Centre Parcs?
No.
Well,
no.
I had to describe this the other day. Centre Parcs is like a holiday camp in a forest. There's lots of chalets, and sometimes it feels a bit like Disney because you arrive and a deer will bound past, and there'll be swans at your door.
like those kind of places in Dirty Dancing, you know, in the Catskills. Sort of expensive holiday camp. Very nice, but we got to... We were among a number of actors who over the course of a summer in, when was it, 2011?
Yep.
Got these gigs doing corporate training things for Sainsbury's, the supermarket chain in England, the UK. And we got these, yeah, they were really cushy gigs where you'd do maybe only 5 minutes work a day, but get really well paid. You had to go in just as one component of a training thing for middle managers, and go in and two of us, a man and a woman, dress up as Sainsbury's employees and give voice to these real-life experiences that they'd recorded from employees about bad management, about taking those things and making them better and getting people not to make those mistakes. Anyway, among the three gigs I got that summer of these sort of basically working holidays, one of the people I worked with was Jenny, and we'd been on in the theatrical community in Brighton for years and never bumped into each other. And in fact, we met in Sherwood Forest, where Robin and Marion met, of course, because that's where one of these centre parks is. And yeah, we started going out soon afterwards.
Yeah, now, Rick has done something like that. You do corporate things.
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. And the exchange here, I think, is just so... so rich with experiences and stories. I must ask you, how do you go about creating an American accent? I was born with mine, so
listening. Lots of listening. Tiptree was more difficult because she was. A very private individual and didn't do interviews, partly because she was pretending to be a man. There wasn't really any footage of her voice, and it wasn't until about a year ago that I managed to. I can't remember what university it was, but they sent me an archive of their of loads of her. She used to record letters to, I think, to her husband and to her friends, especially as she got older. So I knew that she had she smoked a lot, so I knew that she'd be kind of down like this. Mm-hmm. And I knew that she'd grown up briefly in Chicago, but she traveled around so much, so I kind of can get away with it because she's got so many influences.
Yeah, so if she would say something to me, what would she say? In an American voice, what would she say?
You know, I always said I'd never let myself outlive him. So she's kind of quite low.
That's remarkable. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Because I've done some voice work when you made, as you segued earlier, to about the spy.
Yeah.
And I've done my own little Sean Connery for my own my own pleasure in my car, and people think there's something wrong with me when I'm talking to myself there. But I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to you all. And if I may, for just a minute, remind everybody that this is a great amount of richness that we're sharing culturally here at KKFI, as we do on Arts Magazine. And, of course, many, many shows throughout the week embraces all aspect of arts performance, thinking and communication. That's why we are the community radio station that we are. And we start here in the heart of Kansas City. We reach across the globe. And we are 24/7 with influence. So people can hear you, whether you knew it or not, all across the world. And there is another sense of richness. The way that we do this is by asking you, as part of the community, to share with us. And this is pledge drive time. So, you know, the economy's kind of tough out there. I think I needed a co-signer yesterday to get a box of Cheerios at the grocery store.
Oh.
But, oh, it's so much better. Oh, I'm not too sure. But having said that, these are challenging times, but we're going to challenge everybody, including ourselves, to do what we can do to keep this station going. And we have a great history for what, 35 years or something?
Yes, it's almost, we've almost reached that point.
Right.
Yes.
And because of that, it's because the heart you show in the heart of America. So maybe you think about passing up a couple of Starbucks and just find a little Keurig in the back of the cabinet for your coffee. Mm-hmm. And maybe things like that will help you enhance the station, your community station, by making a pledge and a donation. And you can do that oh so easily. Call 888-931-0901 or reach us very safely and securely online at kkfi.org.
This is so important. If you enjoy having Rick on the shows he participates in, and
I have a good time. I'll be here
does.
I'll be here Thursday with Barry Lee too. So I love this stuff because I get to meet people like you and embrace what you're bringing to the table in the way of creativity, etc.
And there's just no two ways about it. So make the call at 888-931-0901 or kkfi.org, and you could do that safely online.
Okay. Link has come back. Does that mean good news?
It means news. Okay. So we're halfway through the show now. We have this challenge on the table, $100. We're still not there. We still have to make that happen. I need three callers to get together, or three people to donate here safely online. Or if you're near 39th and Main, you can stop by and see us. Any way you can do it. We need to get that money so we can make the challenge, so we can get KKFI to stay on the air another 4 months till our next pledge drive. Keep us going. Keep us keeping on, keeping on. Remember, $100 is only like maybe 70 pounds sterling.
Is that even close?
if you're donating securely online, you can do that from anywhere in the world. The currency equivalency will go through with your donation will be in U.S. dollars. But spouses back in England, children, parents, whatever, text them now. But really, we need you. You listeners here in Kansas City who hear about Kansas City events only here on Arts Magazine, that is truly a Kansas City-centric show. But that's, but we need that $100. Only half an hour left.
Okay, thank you, Lincoln. He'll be his own Links Mix show is on at 10 o'clock, and he'll have some exciting things for you there. We are here. Well, it's almost break time, so maybe I better go to that. So remember to call 888-931-0901 or online, and more people like to do it securely online at kkfi.org. Boy, a great group here today. Rick Stacy with us, of course, Bob Paisley, Jenny Rowe, and Robert Cohen all with us, and we're going to learn more about the upcoming British invasion. Yes, they're coming. Actually, they're here. More about that when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame! Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare in theaters and streaming. Two-time Oscar winner Hilary Swank stars in the family-friendly social drama Ordinary Angels. It tells the inspirational true story of Sharon Stevens, an alcoholic hairdresser who seeks redemption by rallying her Kentucky community to help a child in desperate need of a liver transplant. Sharon takes on innumerable obstacles facing the girl and her family while dealing with considerable baggage of her own. While it's manipulative and hits a lot of familiar notes, Ordinary Angels is a well-meaning drama that may well evoke a tear or two. Filmmaker Wim Wenders' Perfect Days is one of the nominees for this year's Best International Film Oscar. It's a very zen experience that conveys the daily routine of a man who cleans public toilets in Tokyo. Toji Yakusho won the Best Actor Prize at the Cannes Film Festival for his nearly silent performance. It's a very slow-moving tale, an empathetic portrait of an everyday worker. It can be seen as a celebration of the dignity of labor and the pride an individual can take in their work. While Perfect Days is very deliberately paced, patient viewers may succumb to its understated charms. Out of Darkness is a horror thriller set in the year 43,000 BC. A handful of cave people, desperately in search of food, arrive by raft at an unexplored beach. The efforts of these hunter-gatherers seem fruitless as the area proves to be a wasteland. When night falls, however, they're confronted by an unseen entity that appears to be hunting them. It's bone cold and very off-putting. The well-made chiller Out of Darkness seems to imply that man's basic nature hasn't changed all that much in 45,000 years. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM. Freeze Frame!
At KKFI, we believe in non-commercial, independent media run by the community, not corporations. Our programs reflect the diverse tapestry of Kansas City, offering grassroots news, talk shows, and a wide range of music genres. Your support is crucial in continuing this important work. Visit kkfi.org today and donate to help us empower our community through independent media.
KKFI thanks Our House for feeding our volunteers during this fun drive. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or brunch, Our House offers a variety of dishes from its location at 1815 West 39th Street in Midtown, Kansas City. For more information about the restaurant, as well as their cafe and catering services, go to OurHouseKC.com. And we appreciate their support.
Well, I appreciate your support too, Patrick. Welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Boy, but it's not me. Rick Stacy is with me.
Good to see you again.
Glad to have him. With his X-ray vision, he can see you.
I can see right through that, Michael.
Rick is a cartoonist, if you didn't know, and he he is a major. He doesn't have his shirt on today, but he is a major Superman fan.
But I have my Batman watch on because accessories are what dresses you out right, of course. Yeah, I've done comics for since the 70s. I've worked for Marvel and DC and Warner Brothers and Disney and stuff, and it's been a lot of fun to learn from those communities of artists and makers and cosplayers and performers, too. That's why it's so great to have you here today.
Yeah, Bob brought along Jenny Rowe, who plays the role of Mr. Tiptree. And Robert Cohen, who plays, I'm so sorry, Robert, it's Harvey.
Matusso.
Sorry, yeah, both are very interesting characters. Neither one particularly funny. I mean, last time I think I had people on, they were mostly of a comedic vein. These two sound very serious.
Oh, there's lots of jokes in mine, certainly. the
Harvey Matusso turned out to be his claim to fame was not only his appearance at the McCarthy hearings and pointing out communists and things. He had a separate life. And the whole reason that Robert stumbled across this topic is a fascinating story because
the point is that this guy was a born performer. And I talked to someone who knew him, who was a producer of talks he did for the BBC in the late 60s, and I said to this guy, Daniel Snowman, in fact, is his name, I said, so what do you think drove Harvey? And he said, I think he just wanted to be famous, which is something a lot of people now say. You know, you can ask kids, what do you want to do? And say, I just want to be famous. But I think people didn't do that so much back then.
Well, so Harvey was self-imposed exile for several years.
Yes, he was in England after his period of greatest infamy. Mm-hmm. I think what Bob's getting to is the fact that he did so many things apart from betraying people to the anti-communist forces. He was an actor and a presenter and a musician and a producer and an artist, journalist, publisher. Notably, when he was in England, he organized a festival of avant-garde music called the International Carnival of Experimental Sound, or ISIS 72, it was called. It was a two-week thing at the Roundhouse, and there were people like John Cage and Michael Nyman, people who would become famous later. Well, Cage already was, but Michael Nyman, people like that, were among the up-and-coming people in that world who performed there. There's a bit in the show where I have him asking the audience to come back next year because he's too busy. He's saying, apart from the ISIS stuff, I got two radio documentaries. I'm trying to market a toy I invented. It's called the Stringless Yo-Yo. I'm working with a band called Naked Software, and I don't see why I should have to talk about that stuff anymore. McCarthyism. Does Nixon have to talk about it? No. Why should I? I tried to give a flavor of the show is primarily about his adventures in the world of McCarthyism, but I also tried to give a flavor of all his artistic pursuits as well.
Oh, of course, yeah, and a very interesting person. obviously. Yeah. And I can see where he'd get tired of it, but he has to realize that's a part of his life and his existence, and people being the curious folks that we are. Absolutely. We want to know.
Well, he talks in the show about McCarthy being this big kid who didn't register the kind of effect he was having on people's lives. There's a story which isn't in the show, but McCarthy apparently, in a book I read, it said one time he was at a cocktail party in Washington. He went up to someone at the party and said, "Hey, how you doing? We haven't seen you for ages. Jeannie," that's his wife, "Jeannie was saying the other day, we never see you anymore." And the guy just stood there agog, because this was someone whose life and career had been ruined by this guy. And he just seemed to think like it was a game, you know? And I think, you know, Matusso was cut from the same cloth, not to the same extent. I mean, he knew he'd done bad things, but certainly he was a compulsive liar,
sure,
like McCarthy.
Yeah, well, these presentations will be part of the British invasion of 2024. It goes on this week. There are presentations each evening, it looks like. For instance, tonight is a presentation called Rise of AI. Which, of course, means artificial intelligence. And as Bob pointed out, one day it will replace all of us. You won't need a host of this show.
That is frightening, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, Lord.
It is, especially, we don't have the time to go into it. I saw a film online recently about a lady and how she lived through dwelling on the past, and she could dwell in the past through artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. and it's as if she was living every day. And maybe she'll be on the show one day. But it's so interesting. Let's talk about the show that's coming up tonight, Bob. Yep. Sometimes there are other shows, but tonight, Tuesday the 27th, the Rise of AI, artificial intelligence. What would you like to say about this?
This particular presentation this evening will be given by our good friend Paul Levy, who is a lecturer with the University of Brighton. And he has classes that he's working Zoom. He would be here today, but except he's got an interview on iHeartRadio at 9 o'clock as well, so talking about the invasion in an international venue as well.
Sure.
I've always wanted to expand the invasion, that it's not just about theater, it's not just about this cultural exchange that we've got here. But we have, it's the subtitle here, it's a Festival of Ideas talk. And it's something that I started with the last invasion, that I have people who come over who have these strong ideas of how we can improve ourselves, and it's about science and politics and things like this. So it's a lecture. It's a TED Talk like event tonight, where you'll get a very deep dive into where artificial intelligence is, where the wonderful places that can take us, and the dynamic challenges that face us as well. It's already getting out of hand in so many ways that we have to really keep a control on it in order to keep it being useful. So Paul will be doing this, and he also does. He's not just a lecturer at the university; he is also a performer. He runs an online site called FringeReview.com, which reviews fringe festivals around the world in Singapore, Adelaide, Copenhagen, all through England, in New York, and he is doing a play that he wrote about a very personal incident in his life and how he used AI to get through this challenging time that he was in, and it's a fascinating personal way that artificial intelligence has been used in a positive way to help him through. So that particular show will be on Thursday and Saturday. As well, the fourth member of our company who is not here with us this morning is Mr. Ross Gurney Randall. This will be Ross's third visit to Kansas City as part of an invasion. and he is remounting his production where he plays King Henry VIII. And we learn all about Henry and his wives.
And, he's probably the most well-known of the British royalty because he's talked about all the time.
Yeah. He's no doubt quite popular in song and stage and screen. So the variety happens all through the week, and it's a great. A great mixture of stories.
If you're interested in specific ones, I'm assuming you can go to CST, which is short for Central Standard Theater, CSTKC.com, and get the schedule. What's going on tonight, for instance? What's going on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? All the shows are on Saturday, and two of the shows on Sunday, all at the Just Off Broadway Theater. That's in Pin Valley Park, of course, 3051 Pin Valley Drive, but Pin Valley Park. If you need to MapQuest things, you need the zip code 64108 to do all of that. And what about this number here, Bob, the 226 number?
You can get leave a message, and I can call you back.
Okay, 816-226-8499. And to learn all about it, and you'll be able to see these people performing their pieces, giving you a taste of something you might be doing if you were touring England, or should I say UK? I know you always said UK when you were talking about it. Should I be saying UK instead of England?
Well, that very much depends. I mean, we are all English, but sure. there's four bits, aren't there?
UK, yeah, but you go up to Edinburgh, it's Scotland, but that's still true. Part of the UK.
Uh huh. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, so.
There's Wales. Well, I am half Welsh as well, but yes, and Northern Ireland, of course. But yeah.
Okay. So, well, okay. There are.
These are shows that they have taken to festivals around locally, where they live, or up to Edinburgh. And it's a show, and they've done this before with their different groups. When Jenny came this week, she was teaching an improv class with the KC Improv Company this weekend, and it was with her improv company that she first went to Edinburgh to do shows up there. However, eons ago it was.
A long time, 2007, I think.
That's
like that.
Eons.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that helpful in doing a presentation, especially if it's just you up there? I would think your improv training would be extremely helpful.
Well, you'd like to think so, wouldn't you? I don't honestly don't know. I've wondered this for a while because people often say this to me. Oh, you do improv, so you must help you with standing on stage and doing it. Yeah. But I think it is very different because you are doing your. You've learnt lines, and yes, I think it does help in that you can, if there's a moment that you get distracted or something and you have a moment where you're like, oh, what's happening, then you can kind of, you can vamp it a little bit.
Sure.
But obviously, ideally, you want to get back to your lines again. otherwise, it's panto.
Did you write this yourself?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, I did. Yeah,
all these shows were written by the people who will be performing.
Mm-hmm. I assumed so because that seems to be the style. Past mm-hmm. guests have told me that it's all me, and with all respect to Mr. Shakespeare, he probably added some things when he did his presentation of that.
Well, we had an interesting talk last night at the theater where I interviewed all the performers at a roundtable discussion about how they found their work, what was the impetus to make this particular show, and then what were the challenges of it, and how did you then take it and market it and put it out? Because until you get out and perform it, it's just a piece of paper with some writing on it. And we had a great discussion about that process and the challenges that everybody gets to it. And if you have a writing partner, it's good. You can bounce ideas off it. If you have an acting partner that you can work with, that's it's not always it's just me. Sometimes it has to be that way, but other times there are lots of other options on how to skin this particular cat.
Sure.
You know, we should skin another cat, as a matter of fact. And share with everybody right now that...
I love all animals. I can't do that.
Exactly. Well, I didn't mean that literally, but quite honestly, any segue in a storm. I just wanted to say that I'm really enjoying hearing this from you all and meeting you. I don't know any other resource in our city that provides this opportunity in a program of this nature to exchange these thoughts and learn about what you're going to do in your performances. I, for one, am a richer person for it. Being a richer person, let me challenge myself and everybody else to call 888. That was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a great segment.
I just made that up, like I know what I'm doing. Thank you very much. 888-931-0901 to make a pledge to KKFI and keep us going so we can bring you what you really will find so much value and worth from. 888-931-0901, or reach us safely and securely, and I've done this before too, kkfi.org, and make your donation today.
That is the popular way of doing it now, but you do it whatever way makes you comfortable. It's just important that you do it, that you help us out.
Absolutely.
We've been on the air for 35 years approximately.
We're not AI. We are organic, and we are live coming to you from the heart of America.
That's true. And things have changed over the years. Now we're on podcast. If you want to hear this program again later, you'll be able to. Just go to our website and click on the podcast. You'll be able to hear all these folks again. In fact, the show never has to end, does it?
Mm. It's eternal. It is.
It's eternal in some ways. Yes. And that's frightening in some ways.
Much like Dorian Gray, I think.
That's right. Well, that's a whole different story.
Wait, but you got to look good to feel good.
You know Dorian personally.
Yes, so. I do. I just picture hanging up at home. So
that's right. But I'm so glad to have you with us. We have a little bit of time left. Oh, do you ever criticize each other's work, being spouses? She laughed. Yeah. So
I'm laughing because Rob has written many more solo shows and theatrical shows than I have. This is my first written solo show, and but it's really helpful having someone who has done this all before you, especially because soon after we first met, I was roped into teching this actual show, wasn't it? It was Harvey.
It was.
Yeah. And it's my favorite of his shows as well. He got me into tech for it. No. And so I was. I've seen the process. I've seen how he writes it and how he breaks it down. And that was actually really useful for when I wrote mine. Also, in the past, he's been a journalist and a sub-editor. So I can quite often hand my stuff to him and go, what do I need? Can you read that? And he's very good at detail. So even if I say, can you just tell me if it sounds all right? He'll be like, here's all the details. Oh. Change. I wouldn't
stop myself.
I think we've definitely we wouldn't want each other to put on a show that is not very good. So
sure.
we're not going to just go. That's lovely, darling.
It's marvelous. Okay, I like the way you say it. It's marvelous, darling.
Yeah. It was channeling Roger Moore.
He was a very sophisticated. He was not up to the quality, in my opinion. And all apologies to his family. He has family in this country, I know. But you know, Mr. Connery, in my opinion, was much more sophisticated and witty. But Roger Moore was probably...
Oh, it was Lazenby, man. I mean, you know...
Oh, Alan.
I think that Connery was more shaken than not stirred.
George Lazenby only got to appear one time.
I know.
But...
thankfully.
Yeah, but at one time I could name all the Bonds. Now some of them I would miss, I'm sure. But.
I think that Connery was the best, and yet my favorite, or two of my favorite films are the first two Roger Moore ones.
Oh, okay.
I like that kind of spooky trilogy from... Diamonds Are Forever through to The Man with the Golden Gun.
See, they confused the audience. They went back to Roger. Sean Connery came back after Lazenby, and we didn't know what the heck was going on.
No, but it's quite interesting, actually, not to go too far down the Bond rabbit hole. But it's interesting watching Diamonds Are Forever. Last time I watched it, I thought, the script is much more sort of jokey than previous ones. It's like it was they were knowingly transitioning to Roger Moore doing it.
Sure, yeah. You know, anything that was set in Las Vegas, you can imagine. Las Vegas, Area 51, it was all kind of mixed there, and they had fun.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
They had fun with it as well. Let's get back to the details here. Central Standards Theater production of British Invasion will take place each evening this week at the Just Off Broadway Theater in Pin Valley Park, 3051 Pin Valley Drive. It's on when you're standing in the parking lot of the Just Off Broadway Theater, you can see 31st Street to your south. So if that gives you an idea of where you are, so it's very near Broadway, Bob, and right. Pin Valley Parkway.
Yes, the best way to get it is off Linwood, okay. And there's the road that goes down to Pin Valley.
Is it Linwood or 31st?
It maybe 33rd Street at that okay. point before it crosses Broadway.
Yeah.
But or just after it crosses Broadway before it crosses Main, and there's I think it's Wyandotte Street that you turn left on and it takes you right down to the theater.
Okay. Yeah. And then each night this week, AI is tonight, Wednesday night Tiptree with Jenny and.
Matuso.
I'm so sorry. My brain is blocked from that. Well, Thursday night, the debrief, Henry VIII. Tiptree comes back on Friday with Matuso. Then on Saturday, a big day. All four of them at once. So if that's your day, you can catch them all at once. Tiptree, Matuso in the afternoon, 2 o'clock and 3:30. The debrief in the evening, then that would be, what, 7 and 8:30?
Yes.
And then Sunday, two matinee shows, The Rise of AI and Henry VIII, all part of the British Invasion. They're here. They're not undercover anymore.
and if you want to go and you want to be really, really well-dressed, I'm going into another segue here.
Okay.
For $10 a month or $120 for one-time shot, you get the new KKFI logo T-shirt, which I've seen people wearing around here today.
Sure.
Or the cap, which is a pretty groovy trucker's cap, too. And for those who want to do what you're doing, Michael, be a DJ, guest DJ, play what you want to play, program how you want to program for $16.67 a month or $200 one time, you can own the chair Michael's in, figuratively speaking, of course, because he has a seatbelt on his. But
have to stay
you can
in.
Do all these great things by making a pledge to KKFI at 888-931-0901 or online at kkfi.org.
Yeah, and that'll be going on. Yeah, call and ask them all these questions about the things that that Rick mentioned. The number once again, 888. That means it's toll free. So anywhere in the United States, maybe the British Isles as well.
You could call from Brighton. You could call from Downton Abbey if you wanted to, Ben. Perhaps.
888-931-0901 or, of course, online at kkfi.org. We would love to have you pledge. We're just so proud when members of the community step up and
we're
do
here
all
because
that.
You're there.
And I understand we have met our match. So,
hooray.
Thank you so much for that. More about that later, but glad to have you. But don't let that stop you. The station needs your support. And so we want to dial 888-931-0901 or kkfi.org. I want to thank my British guests for coming. Always delightful to talk with them. Too bad we can't have some tea together.
Well, they're here all week.
They're here all week. They're here all week. Glad you could come to the show. Pretty early for performers, probably. 9 in the morning.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Used to performing until late at night and all of that, probably.
I went to the jazz club last night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. That was the Green Lady.
Mm.
Jazz popular in the British Isles?
Well, I think so.
Not nearly as much as KC.
No, indeed.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I hope you get to catch all of those things
while
you're here. Yeah, and good luck to the Brighton teams, whatever league they're in. I wish them the best.
Brighton and Hove Albion are in the Premiership.
Okay. So, yeah. The Premier League.
That's great. The big boys.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. If they're in the Premier League, they are. Thanks so much for being with us. Remember, the British Invasion 2024 each night this week at the Just Off Broadway Theater. The website you can go to, CSTKC.com, and you can look over all the information at your own leisure, or you can call 816-226-8499, and you'll get a rundown on the schedule of the shows, give you a taste of the British way of doing things, perhaps, yeah. and their sense of humor, and how it is different from ours. In Britain, they have a very, I don't have time, sophisticated sense of humor on one hand, and then they have Monty Python on the other.
Don't shortchange us over here.
No.
I'll take Benny Hill for the win.
It's this way. Thank you so much for being with us. The number to call, once again, 888-931-0901 or at KKFI.